And Father, it is our pleasure to bring our joy and our thanksgiving and gratitude to you today. Lord, we know these words are true. Thou must save, and thou alone. But we thank you that God does save. And we thank you, Lord, that salvation is in your hands. For you are the one that will not mess it up. No, you have saved. You have delivered. We thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the restored beauty and perfection of the Garden of Eden in our hearts, the Garden of God, in which, O Lord, you walk with us every day. So we're very glad. And now, Lord, today, open this word to us. Open the word of healing. I ask that every heart here today would see, and that all the ears would hear. Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher and open the ears, open minds to understand Scripture, that today you would have a believing people. Lord, that faith would rise in every heart and that we would see mighty deliverances. Thank you, Lord, for all we've seen in the past, but we set our hearts to see even greater things from your hand in the coming days. And so we bless the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, please be seated and good morning and God bless you. Last week we spoke about healing and about the restoration of healing power, and really we just began. You know, like many subjects, this subject is a vast subject in the Scriptures. If you're unfamiliar with the subject, you might think that it just gets a mention here or there, but it is staggering. The extent of this. What does that tell us? It tells us that God has such a heart to heal. That healing is of the Lord. He is a delivering God. He is a saving God. And that word salvation, the word translated salvation in the New Testament, which comes from the Greek word sozo, it doesn't just mean salvation in the more narrow sense of someone's sins being forgiven, even though that's phenomenal because that's an eternal blessing, but it means that plus deliverance plus healing is the meaning of the word sozo, or deliverance, healing. It is phenomenal. Last week I took you to Matthew 11 just for a couple of minutes to review where we went. Remember, John the Baptist sent someone to Jesus to ask him, John was in prison, to ask Jesus if he was the one that was to come, or do we look for another? What was Jesus' answer? Remember, he said, Jesus replied, I'm reading from Matthew 11:4, go back and report to John what you hear and see. Now, Jesus is about to define his ministry, his purpose. Jesus was about to give the proof of who he was. And what does he say? The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. This is how Jesus defined himself. And I'm saying to you that wherever the real presence of Jesus goes, he is still willing today to do those things, if only we would believe and thus activate the grace of God that is actually present all the time. It does require activation. And that is what we are going to learn to do all over again. Last week we went back a couple of chapters to Matthew 8. And I said to you that Matthew 8 was full of healing. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew is full of healing. And it's very important that all of you try to take in what I'm saying about this healing subject. Because if you can hear it and receive it, faith will be established in you, and the result will be, hear me, not only will you receive healings in answer to your prayers and receive them in your families, but you are much more likely to have your other prayers answered also. Because the very activation of this grace means the activation of faith and miracles and answers to prayer. It's astounding how much else comes in the package. Every one of you here today has a vested interest in letting your heart be really warmed by these things that we are speaking of. Now, last week we already covered the first two sections of Matthew 8. The first one was where the man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And what was Jesus' reply? He said, "I'm willing." And the point is, he is always willing. That is the attitude of Jesus. So that when you have a need, any kind of need in the body or the family, you should know right off without having to ask, he's willing. Now that greatly helps you pray. If you know that the Lord wants to heal, it greatly helps you pray. Then we discussed for a little while the faith of the centurion. This is in the next section of Matthew 8 from verses 5 to 13. And we got partway into it. The point about this was that that centurion understood enough about authority to realize that Jesus didn't have to come to his house to heal the servant. He said to Jesus, "Just speak the word and my servant will be healed." And we spent some time last Sunday discussing that. Just how it is that you and I in prayer can come to this place of trusting God to speak a word, and that word has power. Do you know the angel said to Mary, the same angel that visited Zechariah, by the way, who was to be the father of John the Baptist, Gabriel, visited Mary some months later to inform her that she would be with child by the Holy Spirit. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, responded to the angel cynically. You know, how could this be? His attitude was doubtful. Mary asked the same or a similar question. She said, "How could this be?" But it wasn't asked cynically. It was more just wanting to know. How will this happen? The angel gave a very instructive word. In your Bible translation, it will say something like, "For nothing is impossible with God," but that's not what the angel said. And a more accurate description of what the angel said is this: "For no word that God speaks is without power." It's what he said to Mary. The very proclamation of the word of God put the word of God in Mary. Because the Son of God is the Logos of God. The Logos is the word of God. And let me tell you, if you're willing to take the time to pray things through, to wait on God, to listen, search the scriptures, a word will come. Now this is what happened to me. I told you last week, for 4 years, I endeavoured to find this healing grace. The first 2 years saw no healings at all. I prayed for a lot of people. The third and fourth year, I began to see some healings. But you see, I persisted. And I'd read the scriptures, looking for what the Bible had to say about healing and wanting to believe it, wanting all this to unfold and seeing very little. Until one day, a word came that had power. You remember I sat one morning just reading my Bible casually. It was just where I was up to. And I came to Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases." And in that moment, I saw what I was lacking and went to my knees. And in that moment, the Lord dropped in that word from heaven. See, no word from God is without power. He dropped a word into my heart. Suddenly my heart so enlarged, I believed. I believed this thing that was written, and it was power to me. From that point, we saw thousands and thousands of people healed in answer to prayer. And I told you, you know, many of those stories last week. Listen, anybody can do these things. Are you willing to take the time, you know, day by day, take those few moments to seek the Lord, to wait and listen? The people who take the time are the people who consider these things so precious, they must make time for it in a busy life. They must make time because it is too valuable to ignore. And let me tell you that when God has people who are genuine seekers after him, he gives them great gifts, wonderful gifts. Well, in Matthew 11, Matthew 8, when we're moving on to the next section. In fact, this little section, people have found opportunity to make many a joke over the years. I'll read it to you. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. That's the part some people make. They make mother-in-law jokes out of that one. You know, was Peter too happy? You kind of think, you know. But that's not our point today. You see the grace that was with Jesus. He saw Peter's mother-in-law with a fever. He just touched her, healed. Let me tell you, God can give you this grace. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out all the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Pause there for a moment. There are many places in the gospel where it says he healed all their sick, or it says he healed all who came to him. And this is why we must know these scriptures and let them warm our hearts to the place where we ourselves come to believe he will heal. And this was strong with us years ago, and we're teaching it again so as to strengthen it again. As I said last Sunday, we've been seeing healings all along, but nothing the like of what we saw once. And we need to renew ourselves, refresh ourselves in this word. But the very telling part of this passage is verse 17. It's on the board. It's the last part there. Now think a moment. Why did Jesus cast out all the demons in the people who come to him? And why did he heal all the sick? Matthew said this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Now at this point, we need to examine this prophecy, because here we have a scripture that is considered so important that it's repeated in both the Old and the New Testament. So here we have the prophecy of Isaiah quoted because it is a critical word. We're going to learn something from this. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. You notice that there can now be no argument about what is the meaning of the prophet Isaiah's words. Let me tell you that in churches where faith concerning healing is absent, in denominations and in Bible colleges and theological colleges that have no room for the miraculous, where for hundreds of years there has been a teaching tradition that says miracles are not for today, healings are not for today, and some of these got so bad they don't believe in demons, it's just a sickness. This is the kind of thing you'll be taught in many colleges still today, and once upon a time was taught in all colleges for a long time. The apostles were only around until the Bible was written, and once the Bible was written, we had the perfect book and no longer needed apostles. That was the absolute rubbish that was taught for hundreds of years in Protestant and evangelical and Reformed Bible colleges, theological colleges. Absolute arrant nonsense. Because not one word of that idea do you actually get from Scripture. You got it from the traditions of men. People look around themselves, they see nothing happening, they see no miracles, they see no apostles, and so they've got to come up with a theology that excuses the parlous state of affairs of the church. And that's what happened. Interpret the Bible simply to justify the people who had control, the leadership of the day, which was merely a teaching, administrative leadership, no room for apostles and prophets. So consequently, there's no miraculous, there's no gifts of the Spirit, there was no tongues, there was no prophecy, there was certainly no healing. And many of us grew up in those circumstances and had to learn different being taught by the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. And I thank God, all around the world, the church everywhere has come alive with the gracious works of God being done in every nation. Isn't it phenomenal? What has taken place, the changes that have taken place progressively over the periods. But in those circumstances, and you can still go to old commentaries of the Bible, there's probably some modern ones too, that will take these words of Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 53, where it says he took up our infirmities and carried our diseases, and what they do with that is they say, well, these are spiritual infirmities. Or these are cultural diseases. In other words, they push the whole thing into the invisible, where you simply just work for a better world. So the evangelical traditions spiritualized it so that you were never to expect healing, and if anybody came along who wanted to pray for it, no, you weren't allowed to pray for the sick to be actually healed. If you were burdened for someone, you might get so far as saying, well, Lord, if it be thy will, heal. And no one ever expected it or ever got it much for that matter. Because faith was at such a low ebb, and anyone who started to have a little faith was resisted and opposed. No wonder it took me 4 years. But what I'm saying is the Gospels will not allow us to put that interpretation on the words of Isaiah. The words of Isaiah are taken out of the Old Testament, planted into the New Testament, specifically so you may not put that interpretation on them. Look at it. Many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Very, very physical stuff. Miraculous. He healed all the sick. He set them free from all their diseases. Every pain is removed. The cripples are healed. The lepers are healed. And it tells us it was done specifically by Jesus to fulfill this word from Isaiah. In other words, Isaiah was talking about real physical and mental infirmities and diseases. You cannot spiritualize the prophecy of Isaiah because the New Testament gospel won't allow you, if we're going to be honest. We have to say Isaiah was talking about real sicknesses and physical problems. And he's saying specifically that Jesus Christ took them up and carried them. This helps you in prayer, because when you come to pray concerning your own conditions, you're able to now pray with faith and say, Lord, you took this up for me. You carried this for me when you carried the cross. When you were nailed to it, my sickness was nailed there with you so that I could be free. But some people won't get free. The disease won't leave from a minute's prayer. What have you got to do? You're going to pray into this, crying out to God, until that moment faith comes. The word from heaven comes. He sends his word and heals you, is what the scripture says. And you need to wait on God for the receiving of the word that he wants to send. We'll see that more clearly in a moment. In fact, we're going to go to the very chapter in Isaiah 53 in a moment and see where Isaiah himself wrote it. I want to tell you about this word infirmities. You see here, he took up our infirmities. That's not a word we use much today. You don't get teenagers coming in here today and saying, I'm feeling a little infirm today. It's not really a modern word, right? But it still means something. Do you want to know what it means? Now, this word is an English word, but right here in this Gospel of Matthew, it happens to be translated from a Greek word. We're not going to go into the detail, but this is translated from Greek. Now let's look at Isaiah 53 and verses 4 and 5. Here it is from the prophet Isaiah. I'll find mine. Here it is. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Now notice Matthew didn't say sorrows, he said diseases. See, Matthew was making sure you knew it was real sickness. Because when you go back to the prophet, he talked about infirmities and sorrows. But this word here, Where are we? First line. You've still got this English word infirmities, but there's a difference in this passage. This passage is translated not from Greek, but from Hebrew. So in our English Bibles, we've got an Old Testament passage that says he took up our infirmities, translated from some Hebrew word that Isaiah actually used. Over in the New Testament, you've got he took up our infirmities, translated from Greek, using a Greek word that Matthew actually used. And when we go to all the help that's available to find out what was the actual meaning of these original words, you go to Strong's Concordance and get the Strong's definitions. We're going to get a definition of what was the meaning of that Greek word that was translated infirmities. What was the definition of that Hebrew word that was translated infirmities? Because we've got to find out if the Bible's saying the same thing twice or not. Because every truth is established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Was the Bible saying the same thing twice? Or is it just an accident of English that we end up with this thing? And of course, whether the Bible was saying the same thing twice or not depends on the meaning of the word. Well, I've got good news. But the meaning of the Hebrew word translated infirmities and the meaning of the Greek word translated infirmities says the same thing. And do you know what it means? Any sickness, disease, or weakness of mind or body. That's what infirmities. An infirmity is any weakness or sickness of mind or body. This thing is just a wide open doorway for faith. If we can establish it in our hearts as the Word of God. Look at Isaiah a little more. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. Now pause for a moment. Isaiah is more than 700 years before Christ, and he's seeing the picture. He's like seeing this picture through the eyes of Israel, or if you like, through the eyes of the people of God, who don't necessarily know what's going on, but they're seeing this thing happening. And what he says is, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet us seeing it, we just thought he was smitten by God. We just thought he was stricken by God and afflicted by God. But, says Isaiah, look at the next bit, but he was actually pierced for our transgressions. He was actually crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us shalom was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Listen, this is fabulous stuff. Look at verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, we're off diseases and sicknesses and on to iniquities. Think about it for a moment. Here you have the Lamb of God smitten, tortured to within an inch of his life, you know, nailed to that cross to bleed and die until, of course, he actually gave up his spirit in the end. But it says here, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You've got to see yourself there. How will you ever become a great believer? How will you ever become a passionate disciple of Jesus Christ if you don't see yourself in this verse where it says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all? That is your iniquity. And could I say this, please? That not only have we got to see your own iniquity laid upon Jesus, seeing yourself nailed to that cross with him, you've got to see all your other needs, including your sicknesses and diseases, nailed there as well. This greatly helps your faith And this, interestingly, it is this passage that we've just read here. I mean, what have we read? We've read your infirmities were laid upon Jesus, and we've read your iniquities were laid upon Jesus, and now Psalm 103 should come alive to you all the more. This is the verse that made all the difference for me. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. But the trouble is, we do forget them. We forget to walk in them, but here it begins to list them. He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Right there you have it. He forgives all your sins, that's your iniquities. And heals all your diseases, that's your infirmities. And you see, if you know these things, think about it. If you know this is what the Word of God says, if you know what it means, don't you think that just causes your prayer to be alive? It's no longer a dull prayer in which you're praying for a healing and hoping for the best. Now you've got strength. You know, now you've got purpose. Now you've got the Word of God. Now you can come to the Lord on the base of His Word and say, Lord, this is true. And just because you don't get healed in 1 minute, or you pray a 1 or a 3 minute prayer and go off to work and you're not healed yet, you know, most people just take it as, well, I'm getting nowhere, and they'll pray a few prayers like that over a week or three or a month or three and get nothing. It's because they haven't prayed it through. They haven't taken a hold of the grace of God. They haven't received that word that He wants to send. They didn't get the breakthrough. Let me tell you, anything that is worthwhile working at until you get it. But in some things we are resisted and opposed, and so we have to work at it until all these things fall away. Our flesh opposes us. The lies of the devil oppose us. Resistance in the spirit realm opposes us. Stuff that's established in the atmosphere over the towns we live in oppose us. And we have to pray our way through this until there is a breakthrough. But when you get the breakthrough, then you will see miracle after miracle after miracle, because you have established a grace with the Lord. Psalm 103 has a bit more for us. Look at verses 4 and 5. Are they on the board? They are. He redeems your life from the pit. See, it doesn't stop at just the promise of healing and forgiveness. Could we not enlarge our faith? He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. New feathers. That's what most of us need sooner or later. The restoration of youthful vigor, even if we're not so youthful anymore. He satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen, I have seen some older people who are quite virile. There were a couple of examples at this conference in Caloundra, two men in particular who were well into their 80s, so energetic, so strong. One of them had been preaching the gospel more than 50 years. Had been all over the world. Had been to more than 60 countries. Here he is, an older man, not trying to run a ministry or such anymore, but still going out in the power of the Spirit, no sign of him flagging. I met a couple of guys like that. See, they're just full of goodness, full of grace. I've known others like that. But you see, they know how to trust God, how to walk with God, how to believe. And friends, all I can say is it's all here in Scripture. It's all here in Scripture for you. Now, none of this is denying old age decline, by the way. You know, we're not so foolish as to think it means that. No. Look in the same psalm. Psalm 103, but now it's verses 13 to 18. The Lord understands this aging process, and we will age, and He has great compassion on it, but it's still the way it's going to be until the day of our redemption. And this passage really puts beautiful light on it. It's almost like you can see it from both perspectives here. He says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. See this? He remembers that we are dust. In other words, he knows how frail we are. And it gets worse. Look at verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it. That's old age. Look at it. Where is it? Yeah, it's the top of the page. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it's no more. That's our flesh. We're not to deny the fact that we grow old and die. But how long are you going to live? How much sense of well-being are you going to have? That's a variable. Because he says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Who do you think then just might get the benefits of your youth is renewed like the eagles? You know, yes. Look, even the Apostle Paul said, where is this? 2 Corinthians 4:16. Slip that one up for us. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Look, that's New Testament gospel right there. Nobody should be so foolish as to think, you know, that aging is not normal. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Let me tell you, you can be so inwardly renewed that the body has good health and strength and vigor for long life. Spiritual grace and favor and power makes a huge difference to energy, to vitality, to the way your skin might shine, your eyes might glisten. Psalm 92 has a comment on it. It's worth having a look at that. In fact, this is the one you could all be praying over. And why wait until you're 80 to start? It probably won't work. Need to start sooner. Look at that, Psalm 92, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. So there's good stuff there for everybody. Exodus 15 I wanted to show you. We had a prayer meeting here some years ago, and the prayer meeting was for Wendy May. Wendy, you weren't at the prayer meeting because you were too sick. Were you at the prayer meeting? Well, there you go, see? I thought you weren't there. Why did we have a whole prayer meeting, a whole evening, where a crowd of us, you know, maybe 60 of us, crammed into that room, and we spent the whole evening praying for one person's healing? We did it because it was very critical, a matter of life and death. We loved our sister and we wanted her delivered. And there she sits today. So did God answer prayer? Well, you bet he did. But that night, in that meeting, the Lord gave us a word late in that meeting. How many people remember the word the Lord gave us? One? Two? You're the same one. Yeah, one. Two. Three, four, five. Six is me. Anyone else? Listen, six is the number of man. It's the number of sin. Just shows we're a bit weak on it here. Half of you will remember when I tell you. We poured out our hearts in prayer that night for one sister amongst us. And then the Lord gave us a word that said, because, you know, of our zeal, our faithfulness, our love in prayer, he said he would put upon us none of the diseases. I'm quoting from the old King James translation of this passage in Exodus I'm about to show you. Well, it's there. He said he would put on us none of the diseases. He put on the Egyptians. Well, that's actually a quote from here. But that was a promise in the Spirit that night that we would have success in praying off sickness and disease, you know, from that point on for all of our people. But of course, if we get tested in some matter, we're going to have to pour our prayer into it. Not saying we can take this for granted, but we were given a promise, and the promise we were given is the one that is in this scripture right here, Exodus 15:26. We didn't look it up. We knew it, but you may as well get to know it. a bit better. Exodus 15:26 says, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now listen, it's very handy knowing some of these scriptures. I tell you what I've found handy. I've had to pray for a lot of people over the years for their healings. And it's very handy in that moment when by memory alone you can run through 7, 8, 10, 12 scriptures, all of which promise healing, and you're able in prayer to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, you said, and your word teaches, and we believe this, and quote all the scriptures. What am I saying? If you know the word of God, it adds power to you. And there's a very handy quote. You've actually got two in this scripture that are very handy. Look at the last little bit at the end here. This is worth memorizing, where the Lord himself has said, for I am the Lord who heals you. You've got to get that into your spirit. Why? Because that means you'll be able to carry a daily faith that says, healing is for me. Healing is for me. You've got some ownership in it. And you may as well, while you're at it, remember the other part where he says, I'll not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. But you're going to have to pray until it's established in you. I heard a story years ago. It occurred to some people I knew. I wasn't there at the time this occurred. But this man was a Baptist pastor way back in the days when Baptists didn't believe in healing. They didn't believe in any of the gifts of the Spirit. And this would have occurred somewhere in the early 70s. The heyday of the charismatic movement, but of course these people didn't believe in the charismatic thing at all. In fact, they were opposed to it, thought it was the devil. Like that whole, I'm not talking about this man personally, I'm talking about that whole culture that he was part of. Because I got saved in that culture when I was 15. But some years later I heard about this couple. The wife had got cancer and she was getting sicker and sicker, and the strength had gone from the body, and she was confined to bed in the house, and she was in a bad state, getting worse. And he was a Baptist pastor, and of course they'd been praying all along for a healing. It's amazing how often when you've got a big need you'll pray even if nobody else got faith. And so he was praying, and they were praying, and because nothing happened. I suppose months of prayer. Could have been a couple of years of prayer. Just like the usual kind of prayer, the casual prayer. Oh, Lord, if it's your will, heal, or whatever they prayed. But one night, when she was really bad, and it was late in the time, the disease was advanced, he was so anguished, you know, at the threatened loss of his wife, he just stayed up all night, and he's in his room in the house. I mean, she's in another room, but he's in his office or wherever, and he's just staying up all night and praying and crying out to God and seeking the Lord for grace for his wife. When in the early hours of the morning, it was like 2 a.m. or 4 a.m., I don't remember the story, as he's praying along, suddenly his hands begin to burn. Such heat in the hands. And he immediately rose and went down the hall and into his wife's room, and he laid these burning hands upon his wife, and she was instantly healed of her cancer. Sometimes you just have to fight for what you want. Sometimes you're opposed in the heavenlies. It's like when Daniel set himself to pray and ask the Lord a question, but the answer didn't come, and Daniel's fasting and praying. The Bible says that Daniel was in fasting and prayer for 21 days until an angel turned up with a message from heaven. A message from God to Daniel that answered his question, the question he'd asked on day one and had spent 21 days continuing to ask. And you know what the angel said when he turned up? He said, the moment you ask the question, I was sent to you, 21 days ago I was sent to you, but on the way here I was opposed by the Prince of Persia. By the way, the Persian Empire was the empire of the day, of which Daniel was a high official. The Prince of Persia is a principality, a huge fallen dark angel that controlled and guarded the nation of Persia in those days. And the Prince of Greece, another principality, came and assisted the Prince of Persia to oppose the angel, the archangel, from getting through to see Daniel the prophet. For 21 days they fought in the heavenlies, these huge demonic powers opposing the archangel. But the angelic battle was won, and the angel came through only because Daniel stayed in prayer. If Daniel had not stayed in prayer, there would have been no way through the opposition of the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece by the archangel. How many times in life did you begin to pray and God sent you that word from heaven that would have delivered you, but after a quick prayer you prayed no more? Psalm 107. This is another one of those that you must memorize. Verse 20. Just the first bit to start with. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. These are lovely phrases to be able to quote in prayer. It's phenomenal to know this is what the Bible says. Because you can then wait upon the Lord and say, Lord, you're my healer. You said you'd put upon me none of the diseases. You said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. You said that Jesus himself took up my infirmities and carried my diseases and sorrows. You said the prayer offered in faith will restore the one that is sick. You've said by his stripes we're healed. Oh God, would you send your word? Lord, you promised in the scripture you'll send forth your word and heal. Lord, would you grant me a word today, the word of healing? You know, this is how you can wait on God. This is how you can pray it through. Let me tell you, as far as God is concerned, there's nothing too good for people who are willing to pray things through and wait upon God. And sometimes you pray like this for weeks or for months, and then all of a sudden you'd be astounded. You realize that the thing you were praying about is no more. It's gone. I've had situations like that, where all of a sudden it's just gone. You didn't even realize it had gone. Because prayer gets answered, and it gets answered phenomenally. But I want you to look, where's the next verse there, Joseph? Put the two together. Yeah, there they are. Look at this. I want you to consider the context. It says, he sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deed. And this giving thanks is the thing that some people do hardly at all, but many people do insufficiently. We don't sufficiently give thanks to God in that this is a thing that makes a huge difference. In fact, last night I was sitting on the edge of my bed praying about stuff and praying about a couple of healing issues. And I felt led by the Holy Spirit to go back and start remembering all the healings I've had over 40 years. All the personal healings, and then some of the answers to prayer. And you know what? I've had hundreds of these things, but you can't remember most of them. Lost in antiquity. You just remember a few. Why did the Lord want me to remember? So I could give thanks. And I went back and I started thanking the Lord for every single one of those that I could remember. Why? Because often to break through in healing, you simply must have a really big heart that remembers what God has done, appreciates it all, give thanks. Do you remember the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers? How many? Let me have a little show of hands. How many people know the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers? Well, a lot of people know that. Or put your hand up if you know how many people came back and thanked the Lord. That's a bunch. Well, Bible knowledge is not bad. Hey, well, let me show you the passage in two halves. First of all, it's in Luke 17. Put the first half up for us, Joseph. Luke 17. Oh, sorry, yeah, in 11. Starts at 11. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. That's interesting. He's on this border. Galilee's on this side. Samaria's over here. As he was going into a village, so there's a border village. Mixed population. Maybe. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Notice this. You notice Jesus hardly ever actually prayed for someone to be healed. What's he doing? What was the scripture we had a moment ago? He sent his word and healed them. What's his word here? "Go show yourself to the priest." That's the word of God. And they did what he said. And it says, "And as they went, they were cleansed." Now the next half of this passage, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. So you've got somebody who's loud about it. I'm showing you this today because there's a need for us to be loud. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now look, you might have thought Jesus didn't care. You know, he's healing people every day, just doling it out. Me, I would have been too busy to bother whether they came back. There's too many other people trying to say talk, you know. But listen, it's a valid question. Jesus asks a valid question. Where are the other 9? Ungrateful, you know. We're just busy with life. Unthoughtful. And listen, that's our problem. Please understand, 9 times out of 10, human nature is going to let you down here. That's what this lesson's in the scriptures for. It's not that one of us will be thankful and 9 of us won't be thankful. No, we'll all be thankful, but 9 out of 10 times, your own human nature will let you down. You'll get too busy and too distracted to maintain in your heart a proper gratitude for what God does about anything. And yet the Bible is full of information about how powerful thanksgiving is. Anyway, I'm putting it out here. Listen, if you get healed, stand up and say so. Bear witness. Give a testimony. Last Sunday here, I released an anointing. Remember I told you the story of how I'd released that anointing in that big Baptist church in Melbourne where they told me not to heal the sick? So I simply prayed and released an anointing to heal, and astounding miracles took place in the congregation. I said to you last Sunday, that's what I'm going to do here today. We're going to pray and release the anointing. After we'd prayed for each other, did we get any healings? Well, 2 people came and thanked me. 2 people that I know of were last Sunday morning instantly healed when I released the anointing. In both cases, they had painful conditions in the body. There might have been others. Maybe we had 20 healed and only 2 said so. Keeping up this 1 to 10 ratio here, I don't know. But I know healing power went out. Some people are not healed at the time. They're healed the next week or, you know, whenever. But we're going to pray again today and release that healing grace. One final scripture, Acts chapter 10, verse 37-38. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. It's a lovely picture, But it's very informative, these few words. One of the things that it informs us is that to go about healing or to see healing, there has to be a grace present. There has to be an anointing. Because Christ himself could not heal people just on his own. He was anointed by God with power. The reason we preach these words, the reason we pray, is so that that healing anointing will be all the more established. That's what happened to me back in 1978. Notice it also says that concerning the people who need healing, they're under the power of the devil. That doesn't necessarily mean that the devil is in their lives, but it means that the spiritual atmosphere around is often such that sickness and disease sometimes is put on people by the direct activity of the spiritual world in which you live, and other times it's that we have these conditions but healing is being resisted by the spiritual atmosphere. But either way, the power of the devil is at work. And so this is a power encounter. Do you understand what we're seeing in this scripture here? It's referring to two powers. It's referring to the power that is, in this case, upon Jesus because of an anointing. It says, begin how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. You see, power is mentioned twice. And this is why so many people pray for healing but never get healing. Because they haven't dealt with it as a power encounter. There is dark power that is holding these things in place, whether they like the idea or not. And the only way to get rid of it is that it has to be counteracted with another power. And so this is spiritual warfare. This is a power encounter of the kingdom of God. And this is why when the Lord sent us to the Philippines years ago, he said to go and preach the gospel and to heal all the sick and to tell them the kingdom of God has come to you with power. Unless we proclaim the healing of the sick and then actually pray for the sick and see them healed, we might have proclaimed the kingdom of God, but we haven't brought in the power of the kingdom of God to do all the things that it was meant to do. If you simply are praying, you know, the odd casual prayer for healing, but getting nowhere, it's because you're not dealing with the powers. You're neither bringing in the power of God, nor are your prayers without that effective in dealing with a real power that is against you. What does all this add up to? It means that we have an opportunity to establish faith, perhaps in a way that we haven't before. This is an opportunity for prayer. This is an opportunity for seeking God. This is an opportunity for believing that we're going to see astounding things in the coming days and weeks. We want this church to go from where we have been in healing to where we can be, and from where we've been in prophecy to where we can be. These two things must be very strong with us. So we're going to pray. I invite you to just humble yourself where you sit. Father, I thank you for the healing power of the Lord Jesus. Friends, as I pray, I want you to believe to receive the things I pray about. I'm going to ask the Lord to grant you and us graces. And I want you to believe that you receive them. Father, we thank you today for the healing power that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, by which we see demonstrated the gospel and the kingdom of God. And we see demonstrated the will of God, We see plainly what is meant to happen through your servants by the power of God. We see how Jesus gave authority to his disciples, all of them, to heal every kind of disease and sickness. And they went out, casting out every spirit. And Lord, if them, then us. We thank you that we see that. And we thank you for the anointing that you placed on Jesus, which he gave also to his followers. And we believe this anointing is for us today. And I ask you, Lord, that you would clothe this whole church and all of these people with the anointing of Jesus Christ to heal the sick and to cure diseases and to raise cripples and cure blindness and to cast out every kind of spirit and to raise the dead. Lord, we know we have a lot to learn. But I ask that the Holy Spirit would come upon us today and establish these great things. That they will grow in us. That even little children amongst us will heal the sick. Let the power of God and the anointing of the Lord Jesus, given to him by God the Father to heal the sick, let it now be upon us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I reach out to the throne of grace and take a hold of this mighty gift. And I bring it down upon this congregation today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, this is the anointing of power. This is the anointing of power that God placed upon Jesus. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I place it upon you. And I release it to you. It is yours. I declare that you are anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power to do good and to heal the sick, as Jesus did. And Father, I thank you that years ago you gave me a word concerning healing, and that from that day that word was very fruitful. You placed upon me an anointing for healing, and I thank you, Lord, I received it from your hands, and your word says the gift and call of God is without repentance. You did never change your mind. I thank you, Lord, that all the miracles and all the healings we saw through the 90s all came from what you gave me in 1978. And I thank you that anointing is still here today. And my brothers and sisters, I've been given this to pray about by the Lord. I hadn't intended this because the Lord wants to take of that anointing that he gave me in 1978 and place it upon this whole congregation. To place it upon you. Just as he took the spirit that was on Moses in Numbers 11 and placed it on the 72 elders of Israel. The same anointing. And I thank you, Lord, for this word that comes from heaven above today. And so I ask that you would take of the anointing for healing and for the supernatural and for spiritual warfare and for miracles and for answers to prayer and for faith and for authority, the anointing for all those things that you gave me. Place it, O Lord, upon this, the people that you have also given me to be brothers and sisters. All of these here, O Lord, who love me and they love each other. Place upon them now these anointings. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take this anointing that has been upon my own life and I place it upon you, my brothers and sisters. I place it upon your children. I place it upon the young people. Every one of you here today who is in the love of God, I give you this anointing. And this anointing is the gift of faith and the gift of healing and the discerning of spirits. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Lord gave me, and I give them to you in Jesus' name. This morning, in the very name of the Lord Jesus, I release to you these gifts. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, now I command these gifts of the Holy Spirit to spring up in you. The gifts of healings. Gifts, plural. Of healings, plural, the Scripture says. The gifts of healings I command in Jesus' name, spring up in this congregation. The gift of faith in the name of Jesus, leap up in the hearts of the people in this congregation. I command the activation of those gifts in Jesus' name, and the gift of discerning of spirits, I command its activation in the heart of all the people right now, today. I release it to you in Jesus' name. Lord, grant us now the grace, the boldness, the courage, the faith to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God is with us as you were with Jesus. Lord, I thank you. And now all those who need healing today, let's believe for your healing. There are sicknesses present. There is pain. There's disability. There's infirmity in the body and perhaps in the mind. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bring every infirmity subject to Christ. I speak over all the infirmity that is in the room here today. Every disease, all pain, all sickness, all weakness or infirmity of mind or of body, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare you are subject to the power of Christ. I declare every sickness today, every pain, every condition, subject to Jesus Christ today. And I place the power of God over this congregation to heal. The anointing of the Lord Jesus is present to heal. And in the name of Jesus, I send out that anointing. It washes over you. I release it over you now. And I take authority over every sickness, every disease, every bodily condition, all pain. I rebuke it and I cut it off. Now be loosed from here and go. I shatter the bondages of pain. I shatter the bondage of disability. We shatter the bondage of sickness and disease and we cast it out. Lord, you've sent your word and healed them. You've said, I'll put upon you none of the diseases I put upon the Egyptians. And so in Jesus' name now, we cast it off and throw it away. I command sickness, go. Disease, go. Pain, go. I rebuke the pain. I rebuke the disabilities. Be loosed from this people in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for the healing of your people. Let the power of God come. I bring the power of God now down upon this meeting. I place the healing anointing of the Lord Jesus, the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus upon every one of you for the healing of your bodies, and I release it to you in Jesus' name. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Be strengthened. Be refreshed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Recover in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be restored in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your youth be renewed like the eagles. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command the healing of your bodies today by the virtue of Jesus Christ. And I pray for the mature of age and the elderly. Father, I ask that you would renew their strength, their energy, their vigor. I ask that bodily weakness would fall away, and that as the Scripture says, as their years, so shall their strength be. Lord, if they live to 90, they'll be well and strong till they're 90. If they live to 110, they will be strong in body, vigorous enough to come and worship and to pay their tithes and to give honor in the house of God and to be a light, to be a witness, a light to the Gentiles. Lord, I thank you that the elderly shall serve God with great joy. They shall be fresh and green in old age. I'm asking, Lord, you'd renew the vigor, not only of those who are elderly now, but, Lord, the vigor of those of us who are growing older day by day. Lord, grant us strength, I pray, in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no matter what our age, there will be a holy energy, because we have been blessed by the Lord with the fullness of the Word of God. I ask, Lord, that this gift would break upon this house. Let there be divine health established. And so, Lord, today, heal teeth, I pray. Heal eyes. Heal ears. Heal backs. Heal joints. Knees, O God, and every other joint in the body. Heal them, O God. Oh, I thank you, Lord. We thank you for healing. Oh, we bless the name of the Lord. Let every voice be raised, thanking God. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you for holding wholeness. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you, Lord. We will see mighty things. We will see wonderful things. We will see miracles. We will see answers to prayer. Hallelujah. There will be healings and deliverances. And not a few, but day by day, we will see the ongoing works and the wonders of Him who loves us, the Lord of glory. Father, I thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so in Jesus' name, I release the power to heal over your homes, over your marriages, over your hearts, over your bodies. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to believe for healing. Lisa, how's your shoulder from last week? Yeah, come for a minute. Where's that handheld microphone? Give me that thing. Switch that on. We're going to do this short and sharp and shiny. So this will be interview style. This is Lisa. And Lisa is a Californian. You know, she... Is that right, or did you come from somewhere else?
Yes, California.
I know you came from there to here, but sometimes people started somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Lisa is wonderful, and she's a teacher in our school, married to Eli. Anyway, can you give us a 30-second testimony? Give praise to God?
Absolutely.
Just, you know, just say exactly what you had and exactly what the Lord did about it.
For weeks and weeks and weeks, I've had some tightness in my shoulder, and there was just a lack of mobility. And it was affecting my lower back and my shoulder blade and this whole area back here on the right side. And last Sunday, when Pastor John was praying, all of a sudden I felt three cracks in the back of my neck. And I felt like there were two strings down in my right shoulder that were just cut. And all of a sudden I felt complete healing, peace in every single part of my back. And I've just been thanking God all week because I'm healed. He's a healing God, and He's a miraculous God.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Excellent. And see, it comes just from releasing that anointing, which we did a lot more with today than we did last week. Tricia down here's got the glory. We thank God for that too. Now, Pam, have you been all week? See, what happens is you can get a healing because Pam got a real breakthrough last week, and then all week long the devil can challenge you on it. It's not unusual. We hear these stories sometimes when people get a healing and then the devil try and steal that healing. But this is where you've got to fight that fight. You've got to win that war, because we're saying it's not just a physical thing. There's a battle that gets waged in the heavenlies. Let's all lift a hand to Pam just to strengthen her in the battle, because she was really delivered of something last Sunday. Father, we thank you for Pam's healing. And we believe for it today in the name of Jesus. We cut off all the dark powers that would oppose her, and we release healing to her body, strength to her frame, health and vigor for years to come. We bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All of you need to stir up faith on a daily basis, whatever has been your condition. No more casual prayer. Every day, start pouring prayer into it. You know, look, at least every day take a strong stand for a moment. Can you do this? Why am I asking you to? Because if every one of you daily is taking a stand for a minute and cutting off the sickness, rebuking it, asking the Lord for healing, trusting God, saying, Lord, I believe you're my healer, you will heal, this will go. If you'll just make the declaration every day, Let me tell you that over a week or a month or 3 months, we will see a whole string of miracles take place, and it will so change the atmosphere that the spiritual atmosphere over us and over the city, it will then be so easy to get lots of miracles later that we never even prayed about once. But it's up to us to do the warfare. So every one of you, if you've got a condition in your body, please take a moment out every day to take a stand with respect to that condition in accordance with the faith I've been teaching you based on these scriptures. Lord, you said, and I believe, ask the Lord if he would heal. Listen, over the years, I've heard many, many stories. Listen to this. I've heard many, many stories of people who had had some condition in the body that was painful or debilitating and really dragging their life down, and they'd prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, perhaps for months and months and months, and nothing happened and they got nowhere, and you know, it looked like the heavens were brass. But it's these very people who, when they turn up sometime to a special meeting, you know, and there might be a visitor or the Word of God might be present with more power, that all of a sudden, bang, total healing takes place. And they might, at that time, they might not have been praying. They're in the meeting for some other thing. Perhaps somebody's prophesying. Perhaps they're praying for the nation, but all of a sudden healing will just fall on them. It's because they did their homework. They laid the groundwork for a miracle by having sought the Lord repeatedly for a grace. So don't be slothful. Try and remember, along with all the other things, this is a need, and it's worth, even if it's a small thing, instead of putting up with it, it's worth taking the time and making the effort to pray and do it. Why? Because you're winning a spiritual battle. Not just for that pain in your left elbow, or the little ache you get in your right knee. I mean, some people it's a big problem and they really have to pray. Some of us there's little problems. But if you will fight the fight over that thing, the result is you're winning a battle over a whole city. You make it possible for the church to have power against all kinds of sicknesses. But whatever you tolerate that thing, the enemy holds the ground. Consequently, the church doesn't move in power. It's because it's not because you didn't get healed that the enemy holds the ground. Please understand, this is subtle. It's not because you didn't get healed that the enemy holds the ground. So you don't judge it on whether you got healed or not. It's on the basis of whether you tolerated it or not. So if you have a non-tolerant attitude, I rebuke that devil, I rebuke that disease, I resist this, I cut off that pain, it must go. Even if it doesn't go, at least you haven't tolerated it. That means the devil can't rightly hold the ground. But if you have a tolerant attitude, you're actually giving permission to the devil to own all the ground of sickness. That is the difference. And that is why the church cannot be complacent when it comes to the physical conditions. No matter what healing we actually see, we can't be complacent in our prayers. That's the whole point there.